You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton. Thanks so much for being with us. Trent Baalle and the play of the day. Trent, are you going to have 10 of them? After all, Jack Golkey hit 10 threes. Just curious, how much Golkey are we getting?
We're getting plenty of Golkey. I don't know. I don't know how many of the Mike Breen bang calls I can throw in there for you, but yes.
So we don't have a poll question.
Yeah, we do.
Great.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. What do you
got?
You
can tease it all you want, but we've got a poll question.
Well, what do you got?
You came up with the poll question. It was basically your question. And it's got to be about John Calipari.
Oh, okay.
His buyout's $33 million. Do you think Kentucky will buy him out?
I do.
I do, too.
And I don't say that lightly. I do. Even though we've said many times, okay, you want to make a change, who are you going to change to? I do think it might be to the point, Mark, in which Kentucky's just like, yeah, I don't care. Start with who? Don't care. We'll do the best we can. We'll just hire somebody else, anybody else, all right, that just doesn't look like them. Get them out of here.
So I've got a pretty good friend whose wife is a Kentucky alum.
Okay.
And she's not a rational person. At least not outside of business, because she's a teacher. So she's a good teacher. But when it comes to Kentucky basketball, she loses all common sense, all rational thoughts. She is a diehard.
Everything that makes her a great teacher, you want your kid going to her as a teacher, right? Thank goodness she's my kid's teacher. All of that greatness leaves her when it concerns Big Blue.
So yesterday at around 8:30, a group text starts. In which one of my buddies simply asks her husband, wellness check on the ex-residents.
Right.
And her husband, who I know is sitting right with her watching the game, says when you don't play defense and you don't rebound, you kind of expect to be down. She's surprisingly calm. Eerily calm, LOL. And that's the point at which the fan base is. They are not used to it. But they're becoming more comfortable with the numbness of what's going on at Kentucky. And that's a bad sign.
Well, I think up until last night, they just thought they were married to Cal. That it was, you know, a forever thing. And then after last night, though, Mark, I really think that a large part of the fan base is going to go, okay, so how much would the divorce cost? Well, it'd be pretty painful, and it cost $33 million, and I don't know what house you're going to be sleeping in after the divorce. And I think that there's still a healthy chunk of the fan base that's like, yeah, I got to admit, I don't care. I don't care. Just start the divorce proceedings. I'll sleep in the back of a car. I don't know. I've got friends. You know, it might take a while, but we'll figure it out.
When a guy who was playing D2 ball last year lights you up all night long.
Right. Not only that, it was a shock, Mark, that he shot all those threes, considering if you took a look at the stat sheet coming into the game. Mark, what did it tell you?
Shot two twos all year long.
Well, he shot eight.
No, eight, sorry.
So, Mark, to review, he made more threes last night than he's attempted twos.
For the year.
For the year, right. Gotcha. Yep. Hey, who had the advanced scout for Oakland? Huh? Yeah, you. You're fired.
And it's one thing, David, if somehow you caught this team on Saturday and you had one day to prepare and you got caught off guard. It happens. It shouldn't anymore, but it happens. They knew they were playing.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
And Coach Cal seemed to think that his normal defense would just take care of business.
Well, it worked okay in the SEC. Tell you what, though, don't bring that defense to the horizon. Besides, I got 4 and 5 stars here. And like you said, that kid's a transfer from where?
Hillsdale College.
Hell, I can't even schedule them. I don't even get credit for a win if we schedule them.
I think McNeese State scheduled them. Or McNeese. They're no longer State. They're just McNeese.
What, did they lose their statedom last night? I mean, is that how bad the performance was? But anyway. So, yeah. All right. And I actually do. I think they're calling Scott Drew. I don't know who you call. I mean, you know, you can't. They tried the Billy Gillespie route once, you know, as somebody in his 40s who'd been working his way up, had some success. You know, this is a job. This is a job. You know, like Dusty May. He may have his choice between Louisville or Michigan. And then there's the Kentucky job.
You may be right on Drew. The first call I make is the guy that's on set right now, just to make sure he doesn't want to take it.
Well, yes, Jay Wright.
No, that's the first call you make. You let him tell you no first.
I agree. You do know what I would do. And you know I'm not kidding. You know I'm not kidding. You know exactly what I would do.
No.
Don't you laugh at me.
No, you wouldn't.
Drop dead serious. Drop dead serious. What would I do?
You would not.
What would I do?
You wouldn't go get Patino.
You damn right I would. And I'm not talking about the sun. You damn right I would.
Rick Pitino's 167 years old.
He wins. You think that kid scores 32 if Rick Pitino's coaching Kentucky yesterday? You think they lose to Oakland if Rick Pitino's coaching Kentucky? That's a very simple question. I am not playing around. If Rick Pitino was coaching Kentucky last night, do they win or lose?
They won.
Thank you. What is this all about?
Well, it's about winning. It's about winning.
What is Kentucky playing basketball for?
To win national championships.
Thank you.
Period. End of sentence.
Thank you. So what are we doing? What are we doing? Very simple question. Who's the best coach who's alive? And if somebody goes, Coach K, nah, I can't do him. The whole Leitner shot thing, fan base wouldn't do that. Who else you got? Pitino, get him on the phone.
Well, before you even make the call, David, you would have to make sure you do a little R&D, check on the lateral quickness of some of these players at Kentucky.
No, I know. I've got players who have lateral quickness. He may not. He may have that issue at St. John's. We don't have that issue at Lexington.
Never have, never will.
No. We got players. We got dudes. We got buckets. We got dudes. You know what we don't have? We got a coach who can't win big games.
David, big games, he's not winning little games.
Give me the coach who sent 5 teams to the tournament who should have sent 6, but the committee was, you know, blinded. No, I'm not kidding. I get Rick and Richard's waiting in the wings. We ain't playing around here. It's about winning basketball games. Period, end of sentence. Damn right. You damn right I would. You damn right. He's up in the rafters. He won him a natty. He left in the base. He went to 3 Final Fours, 2 championship games, won him a natty. The team he left won the natty the next year. Best stretch of Kentucky basketball since Adolph Rupp. Who was the coach?
Rick Pitino.
He's alive and well, and he's in New York. Call him.
His hair's a different color than when he coached you before.
Who cares? Who cares? Don't care. Honestly, don't care. It's a 3-5 year deal. give me a tournament run, and we'll bring your kid in. Yes, you can go to the Derby. Yes, I'll get your old box back. Yes, yes. What else do you want? I'll bring your mistress back. Yes, what else you want? Okay, I'm not playing around, all right? If I'm coming up with $33 million for a buyout, I want a rock-sure guarantee on the successor. Rick Pitino's coaching last night. How many points Golkey have?
At least 10 less than what he had.
At least. Pitino would have guarded the kid himself to shut him down if he had to.
Paul in the Twitch chat room and someone on the text line both saying the same thing. Says, as a Gator fan, I'd hate it, but they should call Billy Donovan.
Yeah, they should. Or they could call Todd Golden, but that's a whole other story. Maybe hit a little too close to home. Because Florida may have the next Billy Donovan. Just saying. He's got it going on. That was a good hire. Still not going to save Scott Strickland if the football coach doesn't win, but that's a good hire.
Maybe Kentucky should call Greg Campy.
Take it easy now.
40 years. You want to end your career in Lexington? Here's all this money.
Take it easy. So that's what I would do. Listen, I know it's not going to happen. I get it. I know. But what would I do? That's what I would do. And everybody knows it would work, too. I know you're all mocking me. I know
you're not laughing at me. I have not mocked you or laughed at you.
You did laugh at me. Oh, no. You put your head in your hand. You laughed the first 3 minutes that I brought this up. You did. You've just gotten it out of your system. You're still laughing. You're biting your lower lip. You're laughing. You know I'm right.
It's still funny. No matter how you slice it.
It was the mistress line that's got you laughing.
It really is.
I don't care. We're Kentucky basketball. I only care about winning.
Don't know if David's doing a talk show or if this is Ricky Gervais doing the Golden Globe monologue right now. I don't care.
I'm auditioning. I am.
10th time.
Miller and Moulton.
Jack Golkey beat Kentucky.
By himself.
You don't want to call Rick Pitino. Okay.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
We'll talk more college hoops in a little more than 15 minutes' time. Gerald McNeil from the field of 68. He led Marquette to some tournament wins a few years ago. He came after D-Wade, but we'll get his thoughts on last night. You know, when he was with Marquette, they beat Kentucky. You know, so he'll probably
say, is that a big deal anymore?
That's what he'll say. He'll probably say, you know, beating Kentucky early in the tournament, really no big deal. Well, I don't know what he'll say, but field of 68, he's coming up in a little more than 15 minutes time. Pat Kerwin, we will talk some NFL. You know, the draft's 5 weeks from yesterday, just like Major League Baseball. Season starts for everybody else not in the Dodgers and Padres a week from yesterday. You know what also starts 3 weeks from yesterday? The Masters. So, you know, it's that time of year. We'll touch all the bases over the course of the next few weeks. Pat Kerwin coming up at the top of the hour. Our poll question, $33 million to buy out Calipari. What do you think Kentucky's going to do? As Mark so eloquently put it, he gone or he stays.
Close vote right now, 54-46, that he gone.
Wow, I'm surprised it's that close.
Thank you, Hawk Harrelson.
And if you miss the Hawk doing baseball, you know, as Shaq would say, Google me, Chuck. Google me.
Was that his thing when guys got tossed or when they struck out?
No.
Or what was the?
Everything. Home run, strikeout, he gone.
Okay. I can get behind that. I like
and
that.
I loved him. But I'm the guy who likes all announcers. I mean, it doesn't bother me when they're ultra homers because they're paid by the team, for crying out loud.
Right.
Hawk also, when the other team would hit, you know, the game-winning home run, he would drop out for 30, 40 seconds and not talk.
Correct. I mean, he was a homer. His most famous comment was a blown call by the umpire, and he says, "You gotta be bleeping me!" And he just said it over and over again for about a minute.
John McEnroe, but worse.
Well, you know, he cleaned it up.
He cleaned it up.
You got the impression that if you were sitting around having beers, like if he had money on Kentucky last night, you got the impression as to, you know, how the game would have gone.
Well, and I'm not nervous. I'm looking forward to our interview with Pat, because Pat gets into the madness. Pat and his buddies they draft teams.
No, that's right.
So if he drafted Kentucky, he will be in a foul mood this morning.
Can I know we love football more than we love anything else. I get it. I know there's nothing better than football. Are we sure, though? Is there another? No, I'm serious about this.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Is there another sport / sporting event in which we actually start rooting for the outcome that is not in our best interest? That's how remarkable this sporting event is. 95%+ of all brackets had Kentucky winning. The team that had the third most money bet on them in Vegas to win the entire thing was Kentucky, behind only UConn and North Carolina in terms of amount of money bet. And yet, you know, midway through the game, oh man, this is going to screw me up. I'm going to lose money. My brackets are going to be blown up. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. And what do you end up doing for the next hour?
Rooting for Oakland. It is a remarkable thing because we're all regionalized with our sports teams. We root for whoever, for the most part, we root for whoever we grew up rooting for. And it's one of the reasons that David and I have always loved doing a show in Florida, because people, yeah, I know some of you are from here, but people are from everywhere. So we get the benefit of being able to do a more national type show in the state of Florida than you would if you were in Michigan or Kentucky or the Northeast. But by and large, you're still only rooting for your team. When you go to a sports bar on a Sunday and the Bears score at the Lions bar, the Lions fans aren't high-fiving one another. And I know outside a Kentucky fan, which has a huge fan base everywhere, yesterday everybody started rooting for Oakland.
Right. And none of them picked them. Apparently 5% of the ESPN brackets picked Oakland. I was shocked it was that high.
Right, because even though it's a 14-3 and those happen more often than you think, it's Kentucky.
It's Kentucky.
The average fan, the average person looks at that and they know Kentucky. They've seen Kentucky win, even if they've just followed casually. And they've also probably never heard of Oakland. So you factor that in, it's a double whammy.
How many people midway through the game yesterday went, "Wait, that school's from Michigan?"
Exactly.
I thought they were from Oakland. Right. So that's just what I loved about last night. I know, listen, football's bigger. A lot of things are bigger than college basketball as a sport. I get it. But as a sporting event, man, there is nothing like when the major upset's happening. Come on. You eat more during a 215, 314 than you do. I eat more during the madness than I do during the NFL playoffs.
David, that I will say, I don't want to rain on your parade right now, but I had Trent over to watch games yesterday.
I know what you're going to say.
He doesn't eat. Oh, I mean, I made wings. There were wings. My daughter had more wings than Trent did.
They were delicious. The ones that
The one.
I think he had three.
I did. Three was the number.
Three wings.
He treats wings like beers? Okay.
No, he had far more beers than he did wings.
Okay.
He had no problem with the Miller Lights.
Well, you just kept bringing them to me. What am I going to do?
I know he's likable and talented. Are you sure we're keeping him?
Not unless we fatten him up.
He doesn't eat during the madness? I mean, are you sure?
Three wings.
I mean, can this relationship really go the distance?
Sure? I don't know.
Three wings in honor of Jack Golke's performance last night from three.
Look at you. All right. Yeah, take it or take it away. Golden Grizzlies, let's go.
Yeah, story of the tournament, in case you've been living under a rock, here's the context. Oakland Golden Grizzlies, formerly the Pioneers, taking on the Kentucky Wildcats, 14 versus 3. It's Oakland's first big dance since 2011. Jack Golke hits 10 threes, team hits 15, and they pick up their first D1 win in the tournament in program history. Here's Neil Rule on the call in the final seconds.
Pass up ahead, Reeves fires the three, will not go, the buzzer sounds, America, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies have busted your bracket. Oakland University is going on, the Kentucky Wildcats are going home.
40 seasons in Auburn Hills for Greg Campy, the coach. He is Oakland. It's kind of the mid-major version of what Coach K is Duke. I mean, Greg Campy is Oakland. No one else of note has ever come through there. His parents were big Michigan fans, and when Campy beat the Wolverines in 2000, he always said that would be his big, the biggest win of his career, and that's not the case anymore. So happy for Greg Campy.
And that is our Molly Made play of the day. Call Molly Made today if you're looking for someone to clean your house, 239-774-5839. That's 239-774-5839. And give your spouse the gift of a clean house.
And by the way, here is Greg Campy post-game with Tony Paul, the Detroit News.
You know, in the press conference, they asked me about, would this be the greatest win? And I said, for the school, but not for me, because the Michigan and my parents and then all that. I was wrong. This is the greatest win in my career, Oakland's career, everything.
March. You got to love it.
40 years.
40!
Devoted his life to that school. They were D2 when he started. Last 25 years have been D1. He plays his buddy Izzo every year. Loses just about every time. A lot of good games too. Oakland 80, Kentucky 76.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the top of the hour. Pat Kerwin to talk all things NFL at the top of the hour. We'll also see how his bracket is doing this morning. Jarrell McNeil was a four-year starter at Marquette. They went to the tournament all four of those years. He beat Kentucky in the tournament, thank you very much. Played in the NBA. He's heavily involved in youth basketball these days. He's also a commentator for the Field of 68. You can follow Jarrell on X at Jarrell, J-E-R-E-L underscore McNeil, M-C-N-E-A-L. Jarrell, it's David and Mark. Thanks for doing this, particularly at this hour. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I really appreciate you having me on, man. I'm still fired up from the first night of games here.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, I mentioned you were a four-year starter for a reason. You played in the tournament all 4 years. There's a lot of talk these days about basically getting old and staying old. And like Calipari referenced it last night, that I know we're young, but I thought we'd be able to overcome that. You know, you had old teams who lost yesterday too. I'm just curious, do you remember how you handled the tournament as a freshman / sophomore versus how you handled it as an upperclassman, and was it different?
Yeah, I mean, I think the dynamic definitely changes, and you know, like the old saying goes, there's no real replacement for getting those live experiences. I remember our first couple years going to the tournament, our first 2 years specifically. My first year, I think we probably had, if not the best, probably the second best team in my tenure in my 4 years, because we got an opportunity to play with my good friend and teammate Steve Novak that year too. So Steve was a senior that year, probably one of the best shooters, if not the best shooter I had been around. And just like the combination of us three or four freshman guys who were coming in, who were still really good players, but just young and didn't have the same type of experiences as well. And we ended up losing in a comeback effort against Alabama in the first round out in San Diego. We had opportunities there. But I think the biggest thing that you just take away from it each and every year is that you start to realize as you go through the years and you progress that those moments aren't promised. You know, guys are coming and going every year. There are going to be guys that you won't get an opportunity to play again with. But, you know, the experience of it all is just priceless. It's the biggest stage for a lot of these kids that they'll ever play on. There is a sort of kind of just like a time where you kind of got to adjust to that, you know. So first time playing in the bright lights, obviously Kentucky was a team that had a ton of freshmen. And those guys, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be gone probably and going pro this year. So they probably won't get that experience again. But, you know, it came back to bite them a little bit yesterday.
When you're watching that game go on with Kentucky and Oakland, are you, what are you thinking for these Kentucky players as it starts going badly? And how would you have tried to turn it around if you were coaching?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is just the weight of the game. And, you know, the commentator did a great job last night of just speaking to that. You know, every minute and every passing second in that second half, when you're the higher seed in that situation and the team that is not expected to lose, you know, and you're down, the pressure mounts with every passing possession. You know, the thing that I was watching is just like trying to see if Oakland was just going to be able to continue to keep the lead and make enough shots to keep Kentucky at bay. And with every time Kentucky kind of made a little run and got it within a possession or two, those guys made a really big shot. So you got to give them credit for that as well, too. But I thought Kentucky, you know, they struggled with the same thing they struggled with all year. And that was just getting timely stops. You know, the Jack Go kid had an amazing year this year overall. And I got a chance to watch him a little bit in their conference tournament. To really shoot the ball, and they didn't really have an answer to him. They didn't have a guy on the roster this year that was capable of kind of playing and staying home on him and taking him completely out of the game. And then they got beat up a little bit, I felt like, inside as well, too. And that was one of their kind of Achilles heels all year, too. But they don't have the biggest team. They didn't have a ton of experienced guys in the front court as well. But, I mean, if they would have been able to just slow him down a little bit and take away some of those looks that he was getting from the three-point line, I think it just would have helped their defense out a whole lot.
Listen, you're not an old guy. You're still in your 30s. So when I talk about your day, you know, I want everybody to know, you know, it was the end of the aughts, if you will. Does a Jack Golke have this type of performance 15 years ago, or is this the difference in the game today, that it is the court's more spread out, it's more perimeter-based, and we're going to have more Jack Golkies? Does Jack Golke happen 15 years ago?
I'm not sure if that happens, and it's probably for a couple of reasons, guys. Obviously, I think that the overall state of the game and just, you know, obviously some of the rules and everything have changed too. But just, you know, this stuff with the transfer portal, it creates a different dynamic. And, you know, to be honest with you, I have nothing against it. I'm kind of here for it. The biggest thing I was just thinking was, like, is a kid like that even going to get an opportunity on this stage back then with him finding out a little bit about his backstory, being originally like a Division II kid who had an opportunity to move up and play at a higher level. When I was in school, just that kind of mobility, and I tell my kids now even that, you know, the mobility kind of goes both ways. It's an open door, it's a swinging door, if you will. Like, you know, you got guys that are looking for players that are really high-level players that may have got overlooked at Division II level. You also had guys that maybe went high major or mid-major, and maybe they got in above their heads a little bit, so they may go back and move down, you know what I mean, to a lower level where they can have more access to have a bigger impact. So I'm not sure if it happens in that aspect when I was playing, but at the same time, I feel like we constantly had these stories. Now, they were for a lot of different, probably some better players, I would say that. You know, we seen these type of runs from guys like Steph Curry around my time. Steph had an amazing run for a couple years there, my last couple years in college, too. But it was a guy essentially where you hear about him all year. You don't get a ton of time to see him and see him play on ESPN and TV every night. But that's what Marshall's for. And, you know what I mean? Those type of guys, they were capable and really talented players, and they kind of take the world by storm in March.
A lot of people think Marquette's vulnerable in this tournament. Obviously, their guard's been banged up. I don't know if he'll play against Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky can score and defend. Tell me what you think about Marquette's chances today against Western Kentucky.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll feel a lot more confident because I do know that TK, Tyler Kolek, is full go. From what I've heard, he's had a really good week of practice. He hasn't been limited in any capacity, and that dude is one of the best players in the country and one of the most competitive kids that I've been around. So I know he'll be chopping at the bit as he missed in the last couple of weeks. So I'm confident in it. Obviously, I got a little bit of nerves being just the first game of the tournament. And like I said, it's just such a big stage. You can never quite predict exactly how everybody will react. But I also know this just from my playing days and experience, and I truly feel like this and believe this, that first game in the tournament is usually the toughest one. Traveling out to whatever site you'll be playing at and getting that first win is always hard. And I was one of the guys because, like I said, Kentucky busted my bracket up a little bit because I had them going at least to the Sweet 16 in most of my brackets. But I knew that this first game, especially for those young guys, is going to be hard. But it's going to be like that for a lot of guys. So if Marquette can get this one tonight and just kind of get their feet wet, get back used to playing with Kolek, with him and his return, I think they'll be good going forward. They'll obviously have a tough draw here, possibly in the second round with a possible matchup against the Gators, from a team that I've watched a ton of this year, too, and I have a ton of respect for them. I love the way they play, and they got a ton of really good guards and players. They got some big guys as well, too, with Samuel and Condor and some of those other guys. So.
Well, and Marquette and Florida on the side of the South bracket that Kentucky and Texas Tech were on. So, you know, Marquette, Florida, thinking if we can get to the second week, we're going to be playing the winner of Oakland, NC State to go to the Elite Eight. So that side of the South opened up last night. By the way, who do you have cutting down the nets if it wasn't your alma mater?
Yep, and I did this purposely when I made my picks. I never like to jinx my guys because usually 90% of the times I pick them, they'll probably lose early. But I had Arizona winning the whole thing. I liked their draw in that region. I feel like it's kind of set up for them to make a deep run. And then I felt like that they're one of the few teams I felt like would kind of be able to match up with Connecticut a little bit. I still have Connecticut going to the Final Four. And then I had Tennessee and Marquette coming out on the other side.
Tennessee and Marquette, and Tennessee got off to a good start yesterday as well. Talk about, you know, just as you mentioned, the nerves of the first game. When you're playing in this gym, a lot of these guys are playing in these gyms for the first time. How nerve-wracking is that first game from a player's standpoint?
I mean, I think it's very nerve-wracking. Like I said, a lot of it is just the stage, man, and that's one of the exciting things just about college basketball is that once you make it to the NCAA tournament, there is no stage that trumps that. They do a great job with all these different sites set out all around the country, and you know it's a really big draw. And a lot of times in smaller cities, where the community is going to really get out and support you, you got a ton of fans and alum that are going to try to travel in, depending on the distance, to come see their team play, and you know just the media coverage of it all. It's kind of breathtaking at times because I feel like, especially in this day and age, college basketball is one of the sports that gets overlooked a little bit just as far as year-round media coverage. You know, everybody kind of forgets about it until March hits and you start seeing the conference tournaments and people kind of punching their tickets to the dance. But, you know, it's definitely nerve-wracking, but at the same time, and I've always looked like this because I was a guy that was just always had good nervous energy before games. And usually that goes away within the first minute or so of the game. You know, as soon as that first basket kind of goes in for either team, you just in and you realize, you know, it's just another basketball game. Just the stakes are a little bit higher. So
he's Jarrell McNeil. Standout at Marquette, a four-year starter, started every game of his college career. He's an analyst with the Field of 68, and they cover the sport 24/7, 365. You can follow Jarrell on X at Jarrell, J-E-R-E-L underscore McNeil, M-C-N-E-A-L. Jarrell, thanks for making time for us. All the best to your alma mater tonight. Hopefully we can talk again.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me. And hopefully we'll be seeing Florida here coming up on the weekend. So I appreciate you guys taking the time out and having me on.
I think a lot of people like to see a little Marquette, Florida second-round action in these parts and all parts, for that matter. Mentioned it during the commercial break. If we have him on again, we'll go down this road. He played 6 games in the NBA. He's Bull Durham.
Had his cup of coffee. As you mentioned during the break, it was 6 years removed from his last college game.
Correct. So he obviously did the minor league basketball route and what have you and stayed with it for 6 years and played 6 games in the NBA with the Phoenix Suns. Don't you just have to talk to him about that?
100%.
Staying with it for the 6 years, and then how often do you think of the 6 games? You know, was that 2 10-day contracts? You know, was it they signed you, then they sent you down? I mean, you know, just honest, I would just love to talk to him. Never mind the fact his senior year he played with this Jimmy Butler guy at Marquette. So we could do a segment just on that. But don't you just want to talk to him about 6 games? Everything that went into playing those 6 games in the association?
And having been a minor league hockey broadcaster, I know so many of that guy, if you know what I mean.
Right.
The guy that got the chance, the guy that got called up, got to play in a game or two.
I think he scored 9 points in the NBA. I think his career numbers are 1.5 a game, 6 games.
That is correct.
I'm fascinated by that. I just think everything about that is, lack of a better word, neat. I honestly want to dive in to his professional basketball career. I want to know all about it. 6 games. But terrific college player, averaged 15 points a game. 4-year starter, started every game of his college career. Marquette went to the tournament all 4 years. Beat Kentucky his junior year in the tournament.
Yeah, what's that mean? Everybody beats Kentucky.
Used to be something you bragged about, Mark. I don't know.
Nothing a St. Peter's can't do. Nothing an Oakland can't do.
Well, make a dadgum good point, I guess. Call Pitino. That's all I know. Stuff's not happening if Rick Pitino's on the bench.
It's our poll question today. Rick Pitino's buyout is $33 million.
Or Calipari's is.
Or Calipari, rather. Do you think Kentucky will buy him out? Right now, 54% of you say that he gone. Go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, or Miller_Moulton on X. Pat Kerwin is next.